God, holy and most gracious Father,
have mercy and hear us.
Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. Truly God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart.
But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled, my steps had nearly slipped.
For I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked.
Like a dream when one awakes, O Lord, when you rouse yourself, you despise them as enemies.
When my soul was embittered, when I was pricked in heart,
I was brutish and ignorant, but I slight peace toward you.
Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand.
You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory.
Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you.
My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever.
For behold, those who are far from you shall perish. You put an end to everyone who is unfaithful to you.
But for me it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now,
and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. A reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Do you not know, brothers, that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved by anything. Food is meant for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. O Lord, have mercy on us. A reading from the Passion according to St. Luke, chapter 23. Then the whole company of them arose and brought Jesus before Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man misleading our nation and forbidding us to give tribute to Caesar and saying that he himself is Christ, a king." And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him, "You have said so." Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, "I find no guilt in this man." But they were urgent, saying, "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee even to this place." When Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him over to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had long desired to see him, because he had heard about him, and he was hoping to see some sign done by him. So he questioned him at some length, but he made no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him. And Herod, with his soldiers, treated him with contempt and mocked him. Then, arraying him in splendid clothing, he sent him back to Pilate. And Herod and Pilate became friends with each other that very day, for before this they had been at enmity with each other. Pilate then called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was misleading the people. And after examining him before you, behold, I did not find this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither did Herod, for he sent him back to us. Look, nothing deserving death has been done by him. I will therefore punish and release him." But they all cried out together, "Away with this man, and release to us Barabbas." A man who had been thrown into prison for an insurrection started in the city and for murder. Pilate addressed them once more, desiring to release Jesus, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" A third time he said to them, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found in him no guilt deserving death. I will therefore punish and release him." But they were urgent, demanding with loud cries that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate decided that their demand should be granted. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, for whom they asked, but he delivered Jesus over to their will. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Our text is especially the reading from 1 Corinthians, but as well the Passion of our Lord that we heard today. If we are to understand the reading that St. Paul, the letter that St. Paul writes to the Corinthians, we ought to know a little bit about the city of Corinth. The city of Corinth in Paul's day was like the Las Vegas or the Amsterdam of its time. It had a reputation, especially a reputation for its red light district. Sexual sin and perversion weren't a source of shame in Corinth. They were, in fact, a source of pride. They flaunted their fornication on banners. They hung unchastity on their signs. Prostitution and pornography were winked at and celebrated. Can you even imagine? Can you imagine what it would have been like to be a Christian in Corinth? To live in a culture that has no regard for the sixth commandment. To have your eyes, your ears, and your senses constantly bombarded with sexual sin until you begin to think that that's normal. Why, yes, you can. But sadly, it's not your imagination. This is real life. Corinth is where you and I live. But that's no excuse. We may live in Corinth, but here's Paul's point. We aren't to live like Corinthians. Why not? Because of who we now are in Christ. Because we are Christians. And he begins with this. First, remember your baptism. You were washed, St. Paul says. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. In holy baptism, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit claimed you as their own. And if we are to live in Corinth, then we are to live as those who are in the resistance. And resistance starts at home. It begins not by lamenting the state of the world, but with us, with our own lives, and with the lives of those under our care. It begins with our own daily renunciation of Corinth and all her works and all her ways, and with our own daily putting on of Christ. This is one of the reasons that Martin Luther teaches us to make the sign of the cross each day as we arise, each night before we go to bed. It is a way of remembering who we are, that we are baptized. And we are, St. Paul says, to flee from sexual immorality. These are words we should learn by heart, no matter what age we are. And then we are to put these words to use against temptation. How? Say it out loud. Flee from sexual immorality. Pray it as a plea for the Holy Spirit's help. And as I said, remembering that you are redeemed by Christ the crucified, make the sign of the Holy Cross over your body. But of course, there's also more. There's more than just the list of things to avoid, the list of do's and don'ts. There's this. He who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. He who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Did you catch that? As a Christian, you are joined to the Lord. Your new life in Christ is a life united with him. It's a wonderful, real, and lasting and blessed union that you have. And St. Paul is not only talking about the union of our souls with Christ, but of our bodies. You have a bond with Christ, and he has a bond with you. I'm reminded of the promises that Jesus made to the disciples on the night when he was betrayed, the night when he also gave his Holy Communion to the church. He said this, "You know the Spirit of truth, for he dwells with you and will be in you." And again he says, "I won't leave you as orphans, I'll come to you." And he says, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." The language that Jesus uses here is amazing. The blessed Holy Trinity dwells with you, he says, and will be in you, and will come to you, and will make his home with you. This language is absolutely astounding. Or as St. Paul put it in our reading from 1 Corinthians, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God. You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God with your body. Each of us for ourselves, and all of us together, St. Paul says, are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He has taken up his dwelling place in our very bodies. Think about what that means. Think about the most glorious cathedral or church that you've ever seen. Perhaps it was Trinity Church in Boston, or St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City, or St. Paul's in London, or Notre Dame, or Chartres Cathedral. Think of the most glorious church you've ever seen. And St. Paul says that your body is even more glorious than that, for it is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And I know we want to scratch our heads, shrug our shoulders, and say, he can't possibly be talking about this body. This body, with its wearing out joints and its pacemakers and its pain and all of the things that we bear in our body. But St. Paul says, yes, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body doesn't belong to you. Jesus has claimed it for himself in holy baptism. He shares his own body and life with you in holy communion. And so he consecrates your body with his Holy Spirit as God's temple. This explains why we are to flee from sexual immorality. For it is God himself who dwells in us and will be with us. And if your body does not yet look to you or feel to you like the temple of the Holy Spirit as you imagine it should be, take heart. For we remember also that Jesus' body was the temple of God. Jesus said, in fact, about his own body, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. You heard in the Passion of our Lord how that temple, the temple of his body, was destroyed, how it was torn down with false accusations and with mockery and with spitting and with whipping and ultimately with crucifixion. And on the third day it was raised up. And this is what gives St. Paul the confidence to tell us that the Father who raised Jesus will also raise us from the dead. He will raise these bodies, and he will make these bodies glorious as the temple of the Holy Spirit that they already are and that they will be forever. So rejoice and give thanks, for your body has been washed and sanctified and justified in Jesus Christ. Your body has been claimed as a temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body is the place where you now glorify God as you carry him around. For where you go, your God goes with you. For where you are, the Holy Spirit is also there. For he dwells in you and through you by his word and his holy sacrament and his promise, even now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Thank you.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Show us your steadfast love, O Lord.
And grant us your salvation.
Let your priests be clothed with righteousness.
And let your saints shout for joy.
Lord, keep this nation under your care. And guide us in the way of justice and truth. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God.
Let all the peoples praise you.
For the needy shall not always be forgotten.
And the hope of the poor shall not perish forever.
Create in me a clean heart, O God.
And renew a right spirit within me.
Hear my prayer, O Lord.
Let my cry come to you.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you have joined us to yourself in holy baptism and made our bodies a temple of your Holy Spirit. May the fruit of the Spirit be born in our bodies as we show forth in the world your love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. For against such things there is no law. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Gracious Jesus, our Lord and our God, at this hour you bore our sins in your own body on the tree, so that we, being dead to sin, might live unto righteousness. Have mercy upon us now and at the hour of our death, and grant to us, your servants, with all others who devoutly remember your blessed passion, a holy and peaceful life in this world, and through your grace, eternal glory in the life to come, where with the Father and the Holy Spirit you live and reign, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.